The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is Your Money with David Hayes. This is Doug Hughes live in studio, anticipating a good visit from David, who is in Baltimore, and he has just come back from a visit to Europe. He's going to be calling in just a little bit to tell us a little bit about that. And then we're also going to do another segment about the Ed Slot Elite IRA training that he's at out in Baltimore, Maryland. I know he's going to come back with a lot of great information from that. So we're looking forward to hearing from him starting in the second segment. Want to just tell you as we begin tonight that we are going to be going through some of the things that I talk about a lot whenever I do the radio show. Some things you can control, some things you have some control over, and some things you have no control over, and how those different things correlate to your overall financial plan. So when we come back, we're going to hear from David. We're going to have a good phone call with him. And we're going to talk about some of the things he saw when he was in France and in London, boots on the ground, checking out the retirement crisis as France has been going through a so-called crisis. Certainly, I'm sure to them, it's frustrating. And then we're going to talk about Ed Slot and some of the changes that are coming up. 3 years, 23, 24, and 25 before the new tax laws come into play. So he's going to have some really great stuff for us. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. This is Doug Hughes live in studio. Your Money with David Hayes is brought to you by Kenny Bland Auctions, your full-service auction service, offering pre-planning the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com, a great partner of this show for many years. And as promised in the first segment, we do have a special guest with us. Mr. David Hayes is calling in by phone, not live in studio with me, but he's calling in by phone. David, are you there?
I'm here, brother. I'm actually in Baltimore for the Ed Slot Elite IRA Advisor meeting. This is a blockbuster event. I was more excited about this event than I've been about any event because all of the changes in the retirement rules that have happened over the last couple of years, we're digging into them very, very deeply. We're finding every angle, every possible planning opportunity is out there, and we have big hitters here as well from all around the country. I just ran into David McKnight, of course, the author of Power of Zero and a good contributor to our program as well. Of course, Ed Slot's here. We've got Jeffrey Levine. He's also been snooping around a little bit. All big hitters in this space, and man, just so much incredible information that we've sat through all morning. And now we're going to wrap up on Friday, and then I'll be back home on Saturday, which means I've been gone a really long time. And I was in the office briefly this week before I took back off for Baltimore, because as you well know, we replayed a show last week because I was in Europe and the rest of the group at the office was tied up. We wasn't able to land a show last week, so we were determined to do a show this week. And I appreciate Hughes coming off of his sick bed yesterday into the studio today to bring people what I hope to be a really great show.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we did replay a show last week, but it was dealing with it was you and I. So once again, it was a command cast. But it was dealing with things that were going on. We mentioned it briefly in France. And as you know, we had a really great event with a portfolio manager from France. And I have some thoughts about that if we need to get to those today. But tell us about your time in Europe. I know that Obviously, you were taking in France, but you said to me through text that you had been getting your getting some real boots on the ground as to how people were feeling.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, number one, I mean, they complain about the same things that people complain about in America. I mean, they complain about government. They complain about inflation. They complain about not making enough money. You know, so all of those complaints are pretty much universal from Great Britain, there in London where I was also, and also there in Paris, which is where we spent 3 days. You know, it's interesting because I the people I talked to really didn't seem to care too much about the increasing of the retirement age from 62 to 64. The ones I talked to, and then this is people that worked at the hotel, people that drove us, the cab drivers or Uber drivers, and, you know, obviously English is a second or third language to them, so we had a little bit of a communication barrier, but not tremendous. But most of them didn't seem to be too bothered by it. They understand the mathematical realities that are facing France and other countries, including our own, that, you know, we have a lot of debt. They have a lot of debt. You know, they have a strain on their social services, which primarily is their pension and healthcare system. So do we, right? So they have a lot of similarities. But no, for the most part, yeah, the protests and everything that was going on prior to me showing up in France just weren't happening. So people sort of digested it, I think, accepted the fact that it's going to happen. And, you know, they went through this before, about 15 years ago, I think, or maybe sometimes in the 90s, where they increased the retirement age from 60 to 62. So, you know, it's interesting. But I enjoyed the style, the fashion. My son certainly tried to play the role. He has kind of that long, wavy hair that he still hung on to from the COVID days. And now he's kind of owning it with the big Fendi scarf around his neck and the tight jeans. So people thought he actually was from France until he opened his mouth, and then they realized, no, he was not from France. But we had a really nice time there. But then once we landed at Heathrow, being in London was a real treat. I mean, obviously the communication barrier was much, much smaller, although our phrases and the things that the way we say things are not exactly the way they say things. So there's still a lot of confusion. You learn how to speak in a very definitive way. So you didn't say words like maybe, or well, you know, or just pause words that we'd naturally use in our everyday conversation, because it really threw people off. So I'll give you this. We went to Disneyland Paris, which was fun. If you're a Disney person, it's different, but it's really fun. And we went to Casey's, which is the world-renowned hot dog place on Main Street in the Magic Kingdom. And so we go up to the hot dog place, and my son asked for a hot dog, and he said, "But can you leave the onions off?" And the answer was, "Not possible." And I'm like, "Okay." No, it's not a yes or no, or, well, we can't take it because it's just yes or no. And then the way they served the hot dog was funny. They put all the condiments on the bottom, hot dog on top, and served it upside down. So just a few goofy things like that. But it was a lot of fun. But London was fantastic, very clean. I didn't see anyone, you know, on the streets really begging for money. Their tube system / subway system, they openly made fun of New York City's subway system, how dirty and nasty it is compared to theirs. Super clean, easy to use, even for folks like us that aren't used to using subway systems. So that was a good time. And just seeing the appreciation for history, I think to me that was the most the biggest takeaway. I mean, at all levels of ages and jobs, or whether they work in the banking sector, I mean, that's just the largest financial sector besides New York City. I mean, that financial district is impressive. And I sent you some pictures, but you've been there before.
Yes.
But, you know, there's a Bank of Beirut, right?
Yes.
There's a bank of everything there.
Yes.
And then a very vibrant East Side, which is kind of an arts district, kind of a cool, hip place to hang out. But, you know, what the conversion on our currency, you know, was about 25%. So, you know, what a dollar would get you about 92 cents worth of pounds. But what we found is, and this was really interesting, when we would buy things, we were figuring out that actually they were cheaper than what we were buying in the U.S. And this is common things like bottled water at the grocery, at the convenience store, chewing gum, you know, potato chip, just stuff like that. So even though the conversion is about a 25% differential, you really felt like you're getting a pretty good bargain there for what you were spending your money on. So it's just interesting to hear people talk and complain, right? Everyone complains about the same stuff, but they still really, really, at least in London, I didn't really get into it too deeply in France, but they love America. They care far less about the royal family than we do as Americans.
Yeah.
They have the coronation coming up with King Charles soon. Honestly, most of them could give two craps about it. They didn't care. They would even say, no, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to go to that. But you Americans, you guys love this stuff. But they know it's good for London. They know it's good for the UK because it does create a lot of incredible interest. And it also, I think, keeps the UK somewhat accountable to maintain these incredible structures and artifacts that have been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, when you sit there and look at something from the, 1425, and it looks, it's incredible. It just gives you a real appreciation for history. So that was my main takeaways. Currency, what people complain about, communication issues that we had, and all the other great things that came. Well, then I got home actually on Tuesday night. We got home around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and as you well know, there's a 5-hour time change between London and the U.S. or the East Coast time. So if you do the math on that, 7 o'clock, it's like 8, 9, 10, 11, like midnight, right? So we're completely wore out. Try to stay up until 10, which is like 3 o'clock in the morning. So go to sleep. I get up, go to the office the next morning for a couple hours, get on a plane, head out to Baltimore. So my head's been in a whirlwind for darn sure. But, man, sitting here at the Ed Slott meeting in Maryland, it is the pinnacle, honestly. And I know it seems goofy for the average person to even understand, but it's the pinnacle of my year so far in the education of financial topics. So, like I said, we're learning a lot, and I know we take a break. We'll come back and dig into some of that, Doug, but it's just a real exciting time to be, someone that can help coach people through financial situations that come up every single day.
You're right, David. We're going to take a break. This is Your Money with David Hayes, brought to you by Unrivaled Electric. It is your full-service electronic contractor specializing in generators and solar arrays. Veteran-owned Unrivaled Electric wants to be your electrician. Call 1-812-361-3604 or find them on Facebook. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes, brought to you by attorney Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance Like at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. David, before we went to break, you teased us, you whetted our appetites to let us know that you're at the Ed Slott meeting, and this was the pinnacle, you used the word pinnacle, of your education for 2023 in regards to IRAs. Give us some ideas. What's going on?
Well, the focus is that the window is shortening. We are looking at a 3-year plan, and that's 2023, 2024, and 2025 before we are fairly certain that taxes will go up for good. And the more expansive tax brackets, what inflation can work for you instead of against you. For instance, from a tax perspective, we love inflation because it increased and widen the tax brackets, which means what it used to be, $80-some thousand before you bumped up to one bracket is now like, 90-some thousand. So there's so much opportunity. Understanding the math behind the reality of where we are as a country, where we're likely to head, what we can learn from France. I mentioned that in last week's program as well. They have issues. They waited way too long to address, and now it becomes somewhat of a crisis. So we're continuing to answer the question, what? So what? Now what? To me, those are the three questions that you have to answer for people. What's the problem? Well, so what? What's the big deal? Okay, I get it. Now what do you do? So everyone with an IRA has a tax problem. You know, I don't care how much money you make, what your thoughts are about everything that's going on in the world. But if you have a retirement account that you've never paid the taxes on, you have a tax problem. So it's contaminated, and that's been the message. It's contaminated. It's toxic, and you have to do something about it. So there's a group of about 500 of us here, and it was interesting because I was, of course, part of the group one that helped Ed start this elite advisor group many, many years ago, 19 years ago to be exact. And when they were asking the new members to stand up, there were about 35 new members. That was pretty cool. They asked the founding members to stand up. There were about 12 of us. And when we started, there was 35. So it tells you retirement. We've had deaths occur. But the attrition is certainly happening in group number one. And me and a few other good friends are now the lone soldiers of that initial group. But, yeah, we're going all over the new Secure Act 2 stuff, which, you know, you thought you had your head and hands around it, but you really don't. When you inherit an IRA, are you a designated beneficiary, a non-designated beneficiary? What does that even mean? Am I a spouse, a non-spouse? When do I have to take the money out as a beneficiary? Was the owner of the IRA already taking required distributions when I inherited it? So many confusing parts to this makes it really, really challenging for people to even begin to understand it. So, you know, I've always said I love this complexity. I love the fact that it's confusing because that gives me something to talk about. It gives me a job. So I love all this stuff. But I was sitting here thinking, okay, well, one of the rule that changed is if you miss a required minimum distribution as an owner of an IRA or 401k or a beneficiary, that it used to be a 50% penalty. But no one ever paid it because the IRS even knew that was excessive. So if you missed an RMD, required minimum distribution, then you would fill out a form, send it in, they would send you an all clear letter, and you were good. Well, they lowered the fees down to 25%. And if you pay the fee within 12 months or before December 31st of the following year, it's only 10%. Well, what that makes me feel like is they're going to start trying to collect this stuff. And they are going to collect it. So why would you reduce the fee? Well, it's to collect it. And if you don't pay it in the first year, then it's 25%. The other thing I learned is that now the IRS can't go back forever on these RMDs. This is a 3-year statute of limitations. So if you missed a required distribution and you didn't fix it the next year and pay your 10% penalty, maybe you just wing it for 2 years and hope they don't say anything. If they don't say anything, then you're out of the woods. You didn't have to pay the penalty. So there's just so many angles around everything when it comes to the complexity of taxation, retirement accounts, qualified charitable distributions. Once you're 70 and a half, giving that money to charity from an IRA tax-free, being able to now put $50,000 into a charitable remainder trust where you can put it into something to benefit a charity, get a guaranteed lifetime income, and when you're gone, the remainder interest stays with the charity. You can actually move $50,000 from an IRA to something like that tax-free. Pretty darn cool. We got into more deeper discussion about 529 college savings plans when you have a balance, and who can actually roll that into a Roth IRA at the end after being open for 15 years. That's actually a Friday afternoon discussion. That's tomorrow. There's been some clarification from the IRS on that. So you just go through all this stuff, and it's absolutely insane how much information there is, how much you have to stay on top of. And the third piece is how appreciative I am to be part of this group because I have all these people at my disposal. If I need help or I don't know something or I'm not sure of something, I have technical consultants that I've known for years that I trust. Today we had the editor from Investment News speaking about how she appreciates this group of people because they know when they need information, quotes, or anything for an article, they come to this group because they know when they come to this group, it's going to be accurate information, stuff they can print without having to fact check. So it's just a real privilege to be part of this group. You know, you have to take exams twice a year. You have to show up for meetings. You have to have a clean record. You can't have customer complaints and just, you know, so it's a pretty darn good group to be part of. And I just found out we had another guy from Indiana join the group, so that puts us to about six or seven in Indiana. More the merrier, you know, more the merrier. I think our industry, like any other industry, focuses on competition. There's no competition. There's plenty of people out there that need help. So I'm not worried about that. Like, we just need to make sure that you have quality people who have access to great information, give you great advice, and help you through these really complex, complicated situations. So that's kind of the quick snippet on what's happening out here in Baltimore. But I'll be back Saturday, be back in the office on Monday, and be ready to rock and roll.
Well, that sounds great, David, and we appreciate your time invested and sharing with us what's going on. And safe travels back, and I'll look forward to seeing you in the office on Monday morning.
All right, brother. Have a great rest of the show, and thanks for sitting in and taking the reins.
No trouble. Take care. You know, over the years when I've been teaching the financial planning class through Ivy Tech and through Indiana University, we've talked a lot about life planning. And we talk about education and retirement. We talk about travel. We talk about, you know, different aspects of your health and your religious connections. But one of the subjects we talk about the most is the home. The home becomes one of the biggest decision points when it comes to retiring. And those decisions come in a lot of different ways. Sometimes you're deciding whether you should take some money out to pay the mortgage off. Sometimes you're deciding, should I keep working until the mortgage is paid off? If your mortgage is paid off, sometimes you're deciding if you want to sell and move to a condo, or if you want to sell and relocate to another state. One of the things that you can control when it comes to retirement is your shelter. And so I want to spend just a minute just reminding folks about the value of the home that you're living in. You have a consistent payment or debt, if you do have a debt, going into retirement with a mortgage. It's not something you're typically going to refinance, particularly now that interest rates have changed. So it's pretty much a fixed rate, so you know what's going to happen if you do take it into retirement. Oftentimes, we recommend people work until their mortgage is paid off, and we typically do not recommend taking money out and paying the mortgage off just due to taxes. The next thing is, how long will you stay in this house? Is it for your forever home? Are you thinking about the stairs up and down? Are you thinking about the cost to maintain the yard and the landscaping? All these questions become pretty serious, and they're all expenses that begin to build up in retirement. And so when we talk about your home in retirement, we typically hear a few responses. One is, well, we're going to sell and downsize. Well, you can downsize, but that doesn't always mean you're going to down cost. You need to make sure that you spend some time counting the cost. Is it energy going to be more? Is landscaping and lawn mowing and those particular items, are they going to cost more? Or are they going to cost less? What does that look like in my retirement budget? Are we going to stay in the same state? There are some people who move to different states because they think taxes are going to be cheaper and they're going to have a better opportunity for their dollar to go farther. Actually, some people's retirement success has not just been about picking the right investments. Sometimes it's just about doing budgeting the right way. And so when you take a view of the home, you have to understand that you have control of this. You can make decisions about what the home is going to be like, what type of home you're going to live in, whether it's going to have room for visitors, a mother-in-law suite, grandchildren, or whether it's going to be a ranch with no stairs that you don't have to worry with that. This is something you need to be thinking about. And we often say to people when they're 5 or 10 years out from retirement that you need to be looking at the home and making some considerations on how long you plan to live there. One other tip that I always give people is when you're about 5 years out from retirement, you should walk around your house with a blank sheet of paper and you should begin making a list of everything that's going to need to be replaced in the next 5 to 10 years that you know of. Because financial planning is a series of known unknowns. You know the refrigerator is going to go out. You don't know when. You know the roof is going to need to be replaced. You don't know when. You know that the stove is going to go out. You don't know when. You know that you're going to have to replace the washer and dryer. You don't know when. And so looking at your home, one of your largest expenses and one of the largest things you have to keep the expenses up on, and taking a good evaluation on what's going to need to be replaced, on what the expenses are, and how you can manage that in retirement can go a long way to retirement working out very well for you. And while we're on the subject of things that you can control or have total control over, much like the home, another thing that you can control is the asset allocation that you choose for your investments. I bring this up because a lot of times people don't know exactly where they need to be financially when it comes to allocating their assets. I spoke to someone recently who was in a 2045 retirement fund, and that particular fund is designated for that individual to retire in 2045. Now, that allocation might look very different than someone who is retiring in 2030 or 2025 because it is a more aggressive. And what I encourage that individual to do was to continue to dollar cost average, put money in on a regular basis, and that way at the end of the year they have more shares than if the shares just stayed the same price. And so when we talk about asset allocation, what we're talking about is the way that your money is divided between stocks, bonds, cash, real estate, gold, whatever it is. And when you get to retirement age, there's a lot of people who look at their portfolio and say, hey, I'm not going to be working anymore to add money to this. And so I want to make sure that the money is there to last. I don't want to risk this money. And so give me an allocation that is capital preservation modeled and has some inflation adjustments and allows me to be able to participate in some growth of the market. You have control over that. I'm kind of reminded of a story I heard one time about a gal who wrote an editorial into the Wall Street Journal. And she said, I've had enough. We've had a great relationship for the last 35 years. But some years I loved you, some years I hated you. Sometimes I wanted to hug you, other years I just wanted to walk away. I am divorcing the stock market. And what this particular lady did was she moved all of her money into fixed instruments so that she'd never have to deal with the volatility again. It is okay if your portfolio allows for you to make decisions like that where you just simply don't have the same type of risk that you had all the years that you were accumulating in dollar cost averaging. You have control of that. You may want to be more aggressive. You may feel like that the equity markets are going to go up no matter what. And so you want to be heavily invested. You're not really worried about the statements. You're not worried about making it. You want your money to be fully invested, and you're okay with the ups and downs. Most people, however, when they approach asset allocation, say to themselves, what are the three things I want to have happen? I want my money to grow. Everybody wants that. I need monthly income. And in retirement, people do. And lastly, I want to be in an allocation, in a portfolio that I will not stray from when the markets get a little bit wonky. Because headline news comes at you fast. And all kinds of editorials, all kinds of Facebook ads, all kinds of media being blasted at you in the form of financial experts and financial inspiration, financial fear, all these things come at you constantly. However, if you can find a good allocation and one that you stick with, that's the one you should choose. It should address growth, it should address income, and it should address risk in a way that you will stick with the portfolio no matter what's going on. It's very important that asset allocation isn't something you just throw to the back or just not even think about. It's very important that asset allocation is a big part of your thought process when it comes to retirement. So a home, you have control over. Asset allocation, you have control over. The next two that I'm going to mention briefly, saving and spending, you have control over, but maybe not as much control as you'd like, because life happens. Costs go up. Things change. And while you have savings and you're saving money, even in retirement, we know a number of people who are doing that. You may not have total control of that, but you can have a good deal of control. There are ways to have your own inflation rate. You can go out to eat and drink water instead of buying a $3 drink. You can go early and get the senior discount or the early bird discount. I know that doesn't sound glamorous or as exciting for retirement as some people want, but these are just little ways that over long periods of time, you're able to save some money on your behalf. Spending. Am I going to go on one cruise or three cruises this year? Am I looking at the value of the dollar? We know that David was just in London, and he was talking about the difference in the prices between bottled water here and bottled water there. If you're on vacation, what's that cost really look like? And is the experience worth the cost? Are you willing to spend that money and not be worried about it or look back? All of this is very important. And I said to someone earlier today, budgets save retirement. Budgets save marriages. Budgets save relationships. But not only do budgets save things, budgets also actually give freedom. And that freedom is to know how much you can spend comfortably and do well over long periods of time. Not just taking things away so that you don't have as many monthly payments, but actually giving you success over long periods of time. So these are just some things we have and we know that you have control over. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some things you have some control over, you don't have control over, and then we're going to wrap up the show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. This is Doug Hughes live in studio. We've been talking to David as he is in Baltimore, Maryland at the EdSlot education event. He's claiming it's the pinnacle of his year for education. I know he was excited and had a lot of good insights and details to say to us. As well, he spent some time in Europe and we got caught up on his travels. And he will be back live in studio next Thursday to do the show, so be looking forward to that. In the meantime, I've been doing a series that I typically do when I do the radio show because this subject never really changes. And while markets change and taxes change and inflation changes and just about everything changes, there's three core things that we always go back to that we know we can always anchor to, and that is the things we have total control over, the things we have some control over, and the things we're out of our control. So we dealt with total control. Let's go into some things you have some control over. Primarily, this falls into two categories that we're going to talk about. One is longevity. Every one of us, are doing our best to be healthy. We're thinking about it, and we're reading about longevity. How much sleep should we get? How much walking and exercise should we do? What kind of strength training should we do? What kind of water should we be drinking? How much water should we be drinking? We're doing an awful lot to try to have longevity in our lives. Well, when we think about longevity, we all know that we have stories, we have friends, we have family members who suddenly passed away, weren't expecting it. Maybe they didn't have all the loose ends tied up, maybe they did. But for most people, something you have some control over is longevity. You can stop bad habits. You can turn things around in your diet. You can make adjustments to your stress levels. You can eliminate some of the toxic relationships if that's what's giving you stress. So you can work on your longevity. It's something that every one of us have some control over. And I would encourage you, as part of your financial plan, even though this has nothing to do with money and the markets, I would encourage you as part of your financial plan to make sure you're seeing your doctor, get physicals, address these things, and pursue longevity to the best of your ability. You'll have some control over that, and you should take advantage of the opportunity to improve. Another one is employment. It's interesting, when we see people retire and we ask them how long have you been working somewhere, the answers vary. From some places, I've been there 30 years, I've been there 40 years. When we talk to other people, well, I was here for 10 years and there for 10 years and somewhere else for 10 years. We'd love to think that we all live in a world where we have the same job for 40 years. It's very predictable. We get nothing but raises. We work with nothing but wonderful people. And we whistle to work every day. However, that just doesn't happen. And so how long you work, you do have some control over. In other words, if you have a good financial plan and you're beating down debt and you're making sure that your savings rate is high, then you may be able to retire earlier than someone who is not paying attention to these things, someone who is not giving their due diligence to their overall financial plan. And I would say to you that this is something you have some control over. Now, whether you take a class that we provide or whether you go on your 401k provider's webpage and find some good information or whether you just go and pick up a couple books about employment and career and financial management of your cash, not just your investments, but of your cash, I would tell you, you can have some control and you can get control of these things again. One of the things we've learned, we all have, during this time of rising interest rates, is that credit cards often have variable rates. And while we thought that 19 and 20 and 21% was really insulting and we didn't like paying that much in interest on these credit cards, the truth is that now that interest rates have gone up, a lot of those credit cards are charging 24, 27, and 29%. And people who are just able to pay the minimum aren't even able to pay that minimum anymore. This is something you can have some control over. So find a plan. Put some things together. Look at your employment. Look at your track record. Do you need a side hustle? Do you need a second job? Now, I know this is maybe 101, and I don't mean to sound like a parent, but the truth is that there are people in all stages of life who are contending with their employment and what it's going to look like in the future. How long do you plan to work? I know there's a group out there now called FIRE, Financially Independent, Retire Early, say that twice, and that's an interesting group, but that might not be for you. It might be. You need to have a good approach to your employment, and that employment needs to be married with the idea, how am I managing my finances, and how can I change things to make sure we're on a right track that leads to success? Because just like your longevity with your employment, you do have some opportunity for control. Let's move on now to things that are out of our control. One of those things is market returns. We would love to be able to predict the markets, and at Comprehensive Financial Consultants Institutional or Comprehensive Financial Consultants, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know exactly what the markets are going to do, and actually, nobody does. So what we do is we put allocations together, like I mentioned earlier, to make sure that the investments line up with an idea of growth, income, and a strategy that you'll stick with. Market returns are out of your control. We'd love to think we know and we're smart and we know the economy and we can read the tea leaves and we know what interest rates are going to be. None of us do. We're all doing our best guesses to put the allocation together, and we're doing our homework to make a smoother ride to a higher place. But market returns are out of your control. And some of us feel like we can do that. We know when to buy. We know when to sell. We're looking at individual securities. We have great deals of knowledge in all these things. But I just want to have a general reminder to everyone that the market can certainly make you humble, and it can do it pretty quickly because we just don't know what could go wrong tomorrow. So the things that are out of your control, one of them is market returns. And if you don't like that being out of your control, then maybe you need to move that to something that has a little more control, maybe some buffers, maybe some guardrails, maybe some capital preservation. So as much as is out of control, you can begin to move with a recognition it's out of control and the things you might have a little more control over. So total control, some control, out of control, that is totally out of your hands. What the market does today will not have anything to do with you. What the market does a year from now won't have anything to do with you, but how your portfolio reacts does. Let's talk about something else that we don't have control of. And this is an interesting one going back to employment. We don't have control of benefits through the office, through the workplace, through our factory. We do not have control of benefits. And what's interesting about this is that we have long prescribed to people that your paycheck, your insurance, and your taxes and your retirement account should not all be coming out of the same place. What we recommend is that you have your own insurance, your own investments, your own way of insuring against risk, and do that so that not everything is tied to one place, because you don't know when benefits can change, and they can change quickly on you. So as good as you are at reading your benefits and understanding them, just remember that they can change, and that could be completely out of your control. One tip I often give people is to make sure every year you do a deductible review so that you know what deductibles are required on your car, your house, disability, long-term care, medical, property casualty, vehicle. make sure you understand all the deductibles that are a part of your cost if something were to go wrong. And here's another thing that is totally out of our control, and David alluded to this when he talked about France, and that is policy. I mean, policies can change fast, and it's out of our control. Policies about retirement age, policies about Social Security, policies about investing, policies about tax deferral. All these policies can change. They're totally out of your control. So as we approach out of control things, we always want to say, let's take a step back and let's measure and let's think and let's do some homework and recognize what is going to keep us on a good, sustainable path for our retirement going forward. This is from the J.P. Morgan Guide to Retirement that's come out every single year, and we go through this because it's such a good piece. And one of the things I've learned in all the years that I've gone through this particular piece is that the market returns are totally out of everyone's control, and policies have changed an awful lot, whether it's the Secure Act 2.0 or tax policy. Also, benefits have changed. We've met with many people who thought they had life insurance for life, only to see it go away with the sale or the merger of a business. So let me wrap up tonight by giving you just a few things that I think you can write down and begin to build your financial picture with. This is starting with chapter one. You know, in chemistry, you go from chapter one to chapter two to chapter three, but you can't get to chapter two without chapter one. When it comes to retirement income planning, first, write down your guaranteed income sources, pension, one or two Social Securities. What does that look like? What are your protected income sources in retirement? Make a list. And if you can't make that list, you haven't begun to do your homework properly yet. Second, income planning or income guessing. If you put your money into the markets and you hope you can just withdraw 4 or 5%, you're guessing income. You know that if the markets do what they've always done, you should be just fine. However, if the markets don't do what they've always done, then you may be caught in a really tough situation. So it's not wrong to take a step back, and we go back to the things that are out of your control, have some control over, and do some income planning, not just income guessing. And if you can't figure out the difference between planning income and guessing income, you need to give us a call. We can sit down and walk you through this process. Lastly, and David talks about this a lot. It's why he's at the Ed Slott meeting. Tax planning for a coordinated portfolio. Today, people have brokerage accounts, Roth IRAs, 401ks, all kinds of retirement plans through work. What is the best way and the most tax-efficient way to take your income? Also, should Roth conversions be part of your portfolio? What about cash value life insurance? What about annuities that have exclusion ratios? Are these part of your plan? They may not have the same return as a great stock market, but in the long run, they may actually give you more tax-efficient income than the stock market would have. Again, just taking some of those things that are out of control and pulling them back into your control. So income sources, income planning versus income guessing, and then tax planning for a coordinated portfolio. I know that next week's show is going to be great. I don't actually have in front of me what David has in store for you, but I know he'll either be a great guest or he'll have some really great information on the markets and what's going on in the world. So we look forward to seeing you next week right here on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. This is Your Money with David Hayes.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.